It's October. I was hoping you were going to make that noise. I was debating making it, and I was like, no, I think she'll make it. I can say it's October.
Yeah. Welcome to Teacher Quit Talk, spooky friends.
We have a new October tradition. Now that this podcast has existed for 2 years, we can start being tradition-oriented.
Oh my God. I fear that we have to jump right into this as soon as possible because I just opened my question and answer box and it says, message, they dug up remains. So let me tell you what we're doing here today. Our little tradition is that we read haunted school and spooky ghost stories. And you guys really showed up last year, and boy, howdy did you again. Thank God.
I need to hear about the remains now that I'm gonna tell pop-up you. Window is closed. That was more like an Amber Alert in my brain than a pop-up window. Like, I couldn't get past.
Oh, my God. I'm sweating. Oh, dearie. I should have known this is what it was going to be. It's unpleasant. They dug up a Native American burial site.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. And I know that there's a whole issue in Canada about this. If you don't know, you should look it up. It's very, 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 very sad. This one says, I'm a school-based mental health therapist, and 1 year I was at a school in a portable that had been divided into three offices. I would always hear sounds like children were on the roof running around. Baby, that was a raccoon. At the end of the year, a sub who had retired and previously taught for the district told me what happened when the school was built. As they were digging in the very area my portable was, back edge of the campus next to a currently, quote, empty field, they started digging up remains. They stopped, she says, shocked, but proud of them. And called local tribes. The tribal leaders came to the site and decided to have the remains moved and reburied in the empty field right next to my office. P.S. I am from California and I am currently visiting family in Idaho. I knew Idahoans hate Californians, but somehow it's our fault they get to vote and have ranked choice voting. What is that?
That feels really personal. Ranked choice voting, I'm going to explain it bad, but I've heard of it. I know a lot of people want it. It's like, instead of, because it would be a better way for us to have like third party and fourth party candidates. Apparently with ranked choice voting, you get to like put a rank of who you like. So like, let's say I want to vote third party. I can put them as my number one. And then I could like put the Democrats as number two. And if whoever your number one was is like not even close, I think it's like less than 5% or something, then they switch your vote to your number two.
I just did a 3-minute and 20-second video on ranked choice voting that got suppressed to hell.
Really?
So, yeah.
They hate you. What's happening?
We're going to get to the bottom of it, but they deeply hate me. Yeah, no. So it's very sad. So if you want, I'll link it in the description because
I'm shameless. No, you explain it better. I thought you were asking what it was. Did I explain it right? Was I right?
Yeah, pretty right. I don't know the thing about the less than 5% or whatever. I just know that. So if you rank your choices like 1, 2, and 3, if your number one choice gets knocked out in the first round, then your votes just get redistributed down to your second favorite choice. And then they continue that until you get a majority. So like if round one happens and everybody votes for one person, then the majority of people vote for that candidate and that candidate wins. But if a majority does not vote for the same candidate in round one, we knock off the loser and redistribute their votes to those people's second choices and so on. Anyways, do you have any favorites?
I got a couple. So, hi, I love listening to Teacher Quit Talk. During my second year teaching, I tutored a group of kindergarten students after school every Thursday. One day, one of the kids said that he had a nightmare where the school caught on fire. We talked about it, and I explained that a fire was unlikely, but we still have procedures to keep us safe, and we practice fire drills, etc. It seemed to ease his worries. Exactly 1 week later, on the day of our next tutoring session, the school actually did catch fire. It wasn't huge, but it was, and everyone ended up being fine, but it felt very freaky. Did that kid set that fire? That, like, not to victim blame, But
no, but that sounds a little scary to me.
Maybe I want to believe he's psychic, but my other abilities are maybe telling me that maybe another kid was talking about setting fires and he overheard and got scared. But I'm going to choose to believe that he's psychic and he saved you, because you guys probably all had to remind yourself about the procedures.
Yeah, precisely.
I remember one time my class was taking a really long time during the fire drill, and we, like, I'm going to be honest, we have to go pretty far. It's less than ideal for sure. And they were just being so slow and annoying about it. And one kid looks at me and goes, "We would have been dead about 6 minutes ago." And I was like,
Okay, let's be less morbid, friend. Let's look on the bright side.
At him. I was like, "You don't got to tell me, tell them." And yeah. Then, oh my God, one time I had a girl on crutches in our elevator. Obviously, like, she was only on crutches for a couple days. So the students who are permanently, like, need of assistance of an elevator obviously got there before us. So I just made one of the boys carry her because we have to go downstairs.
Holy cow.
Both of them did say it was their favorite memory in my class, though. So,
oh my gosh. I feel like that checks out. Stuff like that was always my favorite, too. Like, I don't know. Anyways.
Do you have another submission?
I do. It says, basically, this isn't exactly spooky or on the theme of Halloween, but sometimes real life is spookier. My school a few years ago was Rat Central, a 100-year-old school. Like, the year of this story, we also were celebrating the 100-year anniversary of it existing. Now, I know a lot of schools have rodents, but there is nothing quite like walking upstairs to the staff room, you eat your lunch in, and there being 5 dead baby rats in the middle of the floor as you go to make your morning copies. Were they in, like, a pentagram? You should have put them in one.
What is happening? Human, like, group psychology is crazy. How, like, people will accept something as normal because everyone else is. That's not normal.
I know, that is not normal. What made it worse, she says, was when the science teacher, male in parentheses, said to me, "If we're seeing the rats on the third floor and in the middle of the floor, it means that there's an overcrowding issue," which made me want to vomit. And the EA in my room, who was hilarious, told me, "We best check our purses before we go home to make sure we don't bring any friends with us." On top of that, our school drinking water was not drinkable because it all has lead in it. All in all, the staff room wasn't giving cozy, safe, or clean.
I'm terrified of y'all.
That checks out as a very scary story. I'm scared.
Horrifying. I'll read some of my other submissions, and then I just found, like, a bunch on Reddit that I don't think we read last time. I am not the teacher in this story, but the student. You can always send us student stories.
Oh, yeah.
We're always happy to hear a student story. Students are the main characters of education. So we should be listening to them. Anyway, growing up, I went to Catholic school from pre-K to 12th grade. The school I went to for elementary had 3 buildings splitting up grades. Pre-K and kinder were in the old nunnery. I think that's what it's called. It's like a dorm for nuns, I guess.
I think that's where they live.
I don't know what an abbey is.
Okay, perfect.
I think it's where the nuns gather there. Maybe they're sleeping, maybe they're praying. I don't
know. A nunnery is a type of abbey, which is a large monastery or convent that is home to a community of nuns or monks.
Interesting. So anyway, that's where they had the pre-K and kinder kids. Anyway, there was always a rumor, even when my dad went to school, that it was haunted by the old nuns, especially on the top floor, which is where they stored old classroom stuff. Things would often move, doors would open, etc. Every day we would hear loud bangs like someone was dropping something above us, and our teacher would always say, "Oh, the nuns don't like how loud you're being." The nuns aren't pleased with our behavior.
Oh my god!
New classroom management strategy just dropped, you guys.
You can really leverage that, I feel.
My siblings and dad all said the same thing would happen when they went there. In hindsight, though, looking back, regardless of whether it was haunted, kudos to my kinder teacher for scaring us into being obedient with a nun ghost. Honestly, I wish that it would work on my middle and high schoolers.
Well, I have another nun-themed one. Here we go. I worked at a Catholic school that used to be run by nuns. In the 1980s, it moved to lay teachers. I never heard that term before. But the nuns also lived on campus, and some passed from old age on campus. While teaching there, multiple teachers said that they felt their presence, especially in the fifth grade room closet. It was by the teacher's desk. They would feel cold drafts. Once the secretary texted our group chat asking if anyone was on campus, she said she saw someone walking down the hallway and go into fifth grade, but no one was at school yet. The secretary was so scared and insisted she saw someone. She waited outside back in her car because she was so terrified.
The nuns are displeased.
I think we said this last year, but if I were to die at work, please do not let my body rest there. My soul cannot be trapped there. I don't care how many different kinds of priests we have to call, but I cannot spend all eternity in my workplace by my desk in the closet.
I think I could fix it if I had all eternity.
Oh, give me a break.
I think
redacted.
With slight ghost manipulation, I could log into people's computers at night if I was a ghost at the school. And then it would just be like a legend. It'd be like, ever since this lady died, this school functions amazingly. Like when kids were randomly walking in the hallway, I would just like do some ghost stuff and terrify them. So kids would be terrified to skip class. I would like log into administrators' computers at night, send out the schedule like 2 weeks in advance so people could actually plan. Like I would be like Casper the Friendly Ghost, but from a place of like vengeance. Like that school would never be run better. People would come back and be clean. Like, your whole classroom's clean. Surprise!
Surprise! Courtesy of the ghost. This one says, once found a dead mouse that had disintegrated into the carpet. Only bones left. That is a skeleton. So, oh my
god. The way you said only bones left really disturbed me a lot.
Seriously. Did you get anything else?
I got one other short one, and then I found a bunch on Reddit. I don't think we read these last year, but if any of them ring a bell, let me know. But let me read this submission one. So this one person said, I grew up in Spokane, Washington, and every single school in my district had a huge crow problem. Like, we'd look out the window in the morning, and the entire playground and in the entire field would be covered in crows. Same thing at my middle school, same thing at my high school. It's funny at first, but it got really unsettling really quickly.
It's you.
Like, the elementary teachers are like, hey, y'all are going to have a crow problem soon. Just a heads up. And then, like, when you went to high school, your middle school teachers were like, oh, my God, thank God the crows are gone. That was so annoying. Like,
you know, it is kind of flattering because crows actually like people a lot and they pick their favorite person and give them treats. My mom is a bird lady and she had a crow give her a piece of pie. Like she's a fucking...
Like a cartoon? What the fuck? That yep. sounds like a children's storybook from the 40s.
Yep. And also she had a dead fish skeleton with the head still like attached to it.
Good gifter.
I know.
I remember when I was little, I had this cat and she would always bring dead birds and put them on our porch. And my parents would make me deal with it when I was literally like 8. And they're like, it's your cat. That's a gift for you. And I was like, what kind of fuck ass gift is this? This is a dead bird like once a week. And my dad would make me get the shovel and deal with it. But I didn't think I ever told him that by dealing with it, I would just fling it into somebody else's yard.
You did
on the
deal
edge
with
of the
it.
Shovel. I was like, whoop. I was just like,
he didn't say how to deal with it, and you had a solution, so that's really on him.
Because once it was in the shovel, I didn't want to put the shovel down to open the trash can or anything. So I would just be like, and to the Smith's house.
Goodbye. And then they were like, I think our house is haunted, honey.
And then they submitted it to this podcast.
Yeah. Oh, gosh.
Do you want me to read some of the Reddit ones?
Sure.
This is from Reddit, so it could be a lie. Who knows? I teach kindergarten in a building that's over 100 years old. It was built in 1907, and it's on the Register of National Historic Places. My classroom is on the second of four levels. We don't use the top level at all because it's in total disrepair. Sometimes the auto toilets flush on their own. Sometimes things fall off shelves. Sometimes the lights flicker for just a moment. I figured it's an old building. That's why. Anyway, last year around parent-teacher conferences, I sent home a little questionnaire for parents asking what they would like to discuss at the conference. One of the questions was, what friends from school does your child talk about at home? Oh, that's a good question. Social and friendship skills are a big part of kindergarten. That's why I ask. 7 of the 20 children in the class had Alex listed as their friend. There was no Alex in the entire school. I asked them who Alex was. Imaginary friends are common in young children, but for all of them to have the same name was a little unsettling. They all said things like, the quiet boy, he sits on the stool by the bookshelf, he cries a lot. I figured it was just their imaginations and they talked to each other about it. Then yesterday, we're doing a tidy up of the classroom. I moved some furniture around. One of the kids came up to me and said, Miss Mao, Alex wants you to put the stool back by the bookshelf so he can look out the window while you read stories.
No.
For 7 out of 20 kids to mention this kid? He's there. Like, oh, I'm so sorry. That kid is there.
It was peer reviewed and everything.
Did you tell the parents? That's what I have to know. I wouldn't. Ooh. I would be like, yes, Alex is a great kid. Love him. Like,
you'll meet him at kindergarten graduation. He's so great.
And then I'd be family. Like, oh, he moved to a better place.
He moved on.
On. You didn't say, technically you never lied because he was in that class at one point and he did move on and you didn't tell them when.
Exactly. So it's not a lie.
Well, yeah, I would not. Because, like, a parent is going to call the principal and be like, your teacher needs a psych evaluation. Like, can't call people and tell them, so we got a ghost. And your kid's friend is the ghost. But the ghost seems nice. So I think we're good. Because 7 of the 20 anything. Kids are having a positive ghost experience. And no one reported a negative ghost experience.
Yeah, I think that's building positive experiences for life in general. And the next time they encounter a ghost, perhaps they won't be so shaken.
I don't think the kids were shaken. He was like, bitch, don't take my friend's stool. The
100%. Yeah. Like, so this one's from last year. And maybe this is a little bit of what's happening in that story. Who's to say? It says, during my student teaching, we let the kids read on this website called Mayon. Because it reads the books to them and they can listen and follow along.
Oh, I know Mayon.
I don't know what that is.
My friend who taught 5th grade for years, she would, like, anytime she needed to, like, threaten her students, she'd be like, no Mayon, you can't do Mayon. And this was during COVID when she was teaching from home. So she was like, they love Mayon. That's, like, their favorite thing in the world. Because apparently they can just go in there and search topics they like and it, like, finds a book and reads it to them. So she would always be like,
Epic for that.
Yeah, I think it is similar to that. I've heard very positive things from children about Mayon, though.
Amaze. Okay, well, good to know, everyone. Resource was just dropped. This one says, some girls in the class found some ghost stories on there and had been reading them a lot. One day, the mom of a girl in our class said that her daughter was up all night because she was so scared about the ghost in the girls' bathroom at school. She said someone told her there was a girl with bleeding eyes that haunts the girls' bathroom. It turned out that some of the girls who had been reading the ghost stories saw some blood in a toilet one day and made up this whole story. We found out that it had also spread to the kindergarten classes and had to have a whole discussion about not telling stories that could scare people.
They're trying so hard. Okay. This person posted in the paranormal thread, I think the school I work in is haunted. Hi, everyone. Gonna start by saying I generally don't believe in the paranormal / ghost, etc. But I've been working at this school for over a year and my perspective is beginning to change. I don't know if this is the right place to tell this in. If not, please guide me to the correct one. Baby, you're always right for this podcast.
Yeah, right?
I think I'll start by just explaining the school. It's based in London and is a very old school that's been here for almost 100 years. The school is massive. 3 floors, loads of classes, loads of rooms, etc. So my first experience started with something completely small and insignificant, but made me think more. The Brits are not brief people. I'm a PE teacher in the school, and I was in the school for a holiday club. This means there was nobody in the school other than me and my team and the children we were working with. The children are not allowed upstairs or anywhere without us. What happened was I was outside coaching, and I look up on the 3rd floor, and there was papers in the room fluttering in front of the windows. Now, this could obviously be explained by a draught or open window. A draught? Do they mean like a draft in America? Or an open window. The strange thing is, at this point, we had no access to the school's top floors, and they're all locked and alarmed. The alarm will go off if any windows or doors are opened. The main thing that happened that made me think happened 2 days ago. I was walking upstairs to my office on the 2nd floor. We now have access to all floors. And I heard a person whistling, like full-on whistling. This whistling stopped as soon as I came off the stairs. And just a reminder, nobody in the school apart from my team and definitely nobody on the 2nd floor. The next thing is that I left my office and walked to the 2nd floor staff room, which is directly across from my office. On that walk, I heard a child laugh and giggle. There's absolutely no way children were on the 2nd floor, and no way I heard it from downstairs. There's been other strange occurrences, but this is the first time I haven't been able to really debunk it.
Oh my goodness.
Hello, hello. So as y'all know, I am a parent to a toddler, and I am learning firsthand how important it is to find learning tools that actually work. And that's why I'm excited to share about IXL Learning. It is perfect for those of us who are trying to support our kids' education at any stage, whether they're just starting out or already trying to zoom ahead. IXL is an online learning program that covers all the core subjects, math, English, science, and social studies, and it grows with your child. While my child is not quite ready for IXL yet, I know it's going to be a huge help because it starts with pre-K. I am really, really busy, and I kind of have left lesson planning behind me in a lot of ways, so I'm not going to have to assess what she needs so much as the tool will do it for me. If you're ready to make an impact on your child's learning, get IXL now, and Teacher Quit Talk listeners can get an exclusive 20% off an IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/today. Visit IXL.com/today to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
You could tell the way they wrote that, they didn't want to believe it.
I know, but sometimes the truth just has a way of revealing itself.
So this is a whole thread. People have read it. What's your infamous school/college ghost story? My faculty has a ghost. The building was built in 1407. Where do you live?
What a number.
What? This is like a fake year.
Yeah, right?
That's like when people ask me, someone was asking me the other day about like my state's teacher pension program. And I was like, do I think my state government's going to write me a paper check when I'm 60? No, not banking on that one.
No.
Like, I was like, I'm doing my own thing. I got big things in play.
Yeah.
I don't think they're going to come through with that, TBH. No. Anyway, so the building was built in 1407, and throughout the history, it was many things. In its early years, it was located in a place of convent of the Dominican friars under the patronage of St. Peter Martyr. Little by little, the congregation became the organ in charge of the trials of the causes, and that is to say the Spanish Inquisition. Oh my God, y'all's ghost stories are like very intense.
God.
Don't worry, the ancient stuff only has like 2 more sentences left, and then we get to the 90s.
Okay.
History affirms that this convent... In this convent, the Inquisitioners tortured and executed heretics and those accused of insults against the faith. During this period, the peak of the convent's existence, more than 60 friars, many of them famous members of the Holy Office, lived within its walls. After the dissolution of the Inquisition, the building passed from one hand to another and was used for multiple purposes: military barracks, provincial monument commissions, and on May 27th, 1993, after a thorough remodeling, the building was inaugurated as headquarters of government delegation and state administration. This is long. I might be giving up on this.
I like...
This one's a lot.
I stopped looking at my phone because I have to listen to the words because I don't know those words.
Me either. And we're only like a partially into it. We might have to give up on this one. I think this person's too smart for us. Actually, yeah. Let me see if I can just skip ahead a little bit. Okay. I'm going to TLDR this a little bit. If anyone wants to Google it, I'm sure you can find it. So basically, it was remodeled in 1993. It became a government building. A couple years later, the government turned it into a university, and now it's a university. And it's occupied by hundreds of professors, students, and employees. Multiple rumors affirm that in those that something happens within those walls that lack logical explanation. The testimonies come from tons of people, students, janitors, visitors, everybody. One of the most repeated experiences refers to the vision of a blurred figure, which some describe as a faint white smoke, which is usually seen in some old places of the convent, mainly in some areas like the library, church, or in the upper stalls. Witnesses state that the white smoke moves as if it was floating and quite quickly, so that it's never seen for more than 3 or 4 seconds. Some witnesses even claim they've seen the phenomenon clearly, being able to distinguish a female figure dressed in some kind of white habit as if it were a nun.
Is it a vape cloud?
Great question. It could be.
A nun-shaped vape cloud.
The kid's like, oh, the ghost, you said, see?
No, that's basically what my husband does sometimes. I'm like, did you just hit your vape? And he's like, no. And I'm
like,
bitch.
Whoa.
Pretty sure you plane. Did.
Me in front of an air marshal. Okay, so TLDR of this, because this person is really, really not brief. Basically, the ghost situation was getting so bad that they have these like night hours in the library for kids to study, which is very common. Like on my college campus, we had multiple 24-hour libraries. So like that's not weird. But apparently so much ghost shit was happening in the night library hours that people would only go in groups and the school had to stop doing it because everyone was like, I'm scared. So they stopped having night library hours because the ghost shit was getting so bad. But I mean, like, if the building is from 1407 and the Spanish Inquisition was there, some not chill stuff happened.
Absolutely putrid energy in that building.
During that time. This one is about, I have two short ones. One is about a college and one is about a high school. I'll do the college one first. There's this one haunted suite in one of the old dorms. It's completely blocked off. The only way you can break in is through the suite next to it, which ironically was a designated party suite. A student apparently, trigger warning, ended their life in the blocked off suite 30 years ago and has allegedly haunted it since. Eventually, none of the other suite mates or anyone else could live in it, so the college just blocked it off. My friend once sneaked into that suite with a bunch of other people. She said the whole place was as empty as expected, except there is a single chair in the middle of the common room. The chair was said to sit there so the student's spirit can sit and not bother people around. Some people say the chair was used by the student who, unfortunately, again, trigger warning, hung himself. My friend and the other people around brought a Ouija board and used it to talk to the spirit. They said they did not get any answers but could confirm yes-no questions that they were indeed talking to that student's spirit. They said before they could ask any more questions, a door violently slammed itself in front of their faces, even though there was no wind and the entire place was sealed off, and they had checked every single room on the hall to make sure no one was there when they first came in. After that, they bolted. I don't feel bad for you. They told you not to go in there. And now this other person, this same person has one from a high school. They said, I taught at a small high school for years. The building was pretty new and in good condition. My classroom was fine. No paranormal vibes at all at first. A few months into the school year, I brought in two portraits of politicians slash activists to hang on the wall. One man and one woman. I taught social studies and they were very relevant to my lessons. Queen, you don't have to defend yourself.
Yeah, come on.
I guess I would think that like the paranormal thread on Reddit is probably like not the most welcoming space in the entire world.
Yeah, you know what? That's so true.
So she said, I hung them on two pieces of metal that were drilled into the wall using round hooks. One of them, the portrait of the woman, kept falling off the wall. I had carpeted floor, so it wasn't damaged, just annoying. My coworkers joked that a sexist ghost was haunting my room. None of the windows in this entire building could be opened, so I couldn't blame it on the wind. and they fell when I was in the room with the door closed, so I literally had no idea what caused it. One day, I was not in the mood, and as soon as I heard the portrait fell one more time, I cursed out the ghost, saying it was disrespected towards the female activist. I didn't actually believe in the ghost haunting my room. I just yelled that into the void because of frustration. Again, you don't have to defend yourself. After that, the wall clock that had been fine all year started falling down multiple times per week. One day, one of my coworkers, whose room was next to mine, pulled me into her room and told me this. Both of our rooms were probably haunted. The person using the room before me was very uneasy and always found excuses to not be alone in the room. Before I came here, her room was very haunted. One time, the hallway camera captured footage of the doorknob turning by itself while absolutely no person was even in the wing of the school. After I came, my room became the active one, with stuff falling all over the walls. I was moved to a different room the year after and never had an issue. I later found out that the school building used to be an orphanage.
Oh, I just got the shivers.
I'm literally like up my spine. Because at first I was like, eh, it's just a picture falling down. But when you said the doorknob, no.
Yeah, no. Shivers. That is so scary.
What they didn't say that I want to know is when the clock started falling, did the woman keep falling or did it stop?
Oh.
Because that's even scarier if the lady stopped falling and it like switched after you yelled that. If they were both falling, I'm like, maybe it's the wall.
No, I feel like it was switched, but I could be just projecting that onto the story itself. I mean, that is... So that person had two different stories.
Yeah.
They are very in touch with the other side, one might say.
I have more Reddit ones.
Okay.
This one's very short. Someone said that they... says, I love the internet. Went to Sinclair in Dayton, Ohio. Cafeteria was haunted. They used to use it as a gallows. People were hung. LOL. That's their
Not
whole story.
The LOL.
In college, living in a dorm, and my boyfriend was also on campus in a guy's dorm, we'd moved from a town nearby to attend college in 82. I slept over at my boyfriend's dorm almost every night until we broke up months later, and then I started sleeping in my dorm with my roommate. She decided to leave college mid-spring semester, which left me with a huge room alone. I never felt comfortable there at night. It was an old dorm in college, but I felt watched, as if someone was sitting on the bed at night, and I hear noises early in the morning, all the time inside the room. Heard stories from the 1950s of a student who hung herself on the fourth floor and a student who fell down the elevator shaft and died. There was talk of some hauntings, but I chalked it up to rumors and moved out at the end of the school year and into apartment. Enter the internet 15 years later, and they phrase this weird. It seems like they were Googling ghost stories like are now.
Enter the internet.
And they found their old college dorm. It's called Bussy Hall. Isn't that funny? They found it on an SAU, I guess that's the university hauntings website. So it was definitely not just them.
Whoa. Ooh, that gave me the shivers real bad, actually.
I have another short one.
Okay.
The local high school was built in 1910, and the additions of the gym and auditorium were CCP projects. What is that? Do you know what that is? Oh, College Credit Plus.
Oh, okay.
The additions of the gym and auditorium were CCP projects, so I guess the kids did it, I guess? I don't know.
Oh, that's unique.
The building was condemned, but we still had to attend school there. Perfect.
Oh, that sounds about right.
Yep. It was so haunted that you did not stay for sports after school, with the screams on the stairwells and the ice cold blast rushing down the hall. Doors opened and slammed shut, but were locked from the inside when no one was in the room. A new school was built and they tore the old one down. All that is left there are the trees and a retaining wall that ran around the school. The school was so haunted they tore it down.
They were like, fuck this. You can have it, guys. What would you do if you worked at a haunted school?
Depends in what ways it was haunted. Like, I can get down with ghosts, so it would depend, like, how my relationship was with the ghost.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if I felt like me and the ghost had, like, a good understanding and it, like, wasn't fucking with my day-to-day, that really wouldn't bother me that much because, like, I already believe in ghosts. So I'd be like, mm-hmm. You're here. I'm respecting your space, you're respecting my space. But if it was like things that were scaring me on a regular basis, I couldn't do it.
Oh, yeah. When I was in college, there was a ghost in the theater at the first, not at Pepperdine, at the first school I went to. It's called Clarion. Well, they changed the name, I guess, now, but it was the really, really old theater. It was very famously haunted. And I fully believe that I had paranormal experiences in that building. And they did every year at Halloween, they would do like a ghost performance where they invited the ghost who was a theater kid to perform. And they would do the thing where they like put the flashlight on like edge. You know what? There's like those twisty flashlights. If you put them so that it's very loose, but like almost twisted on, but not quite twisted on.
Oh, I know what you're saying. It's like a dimmer. Like you twist it and it gets like brighter or darker.
Kind of. It just fully goes on and off that way. And they would put the little flashlight on the stool and ask the ghost questions that they could yes or no twist and untwist, and they did it live to an audience.
Did people like enjoy that? Like that was like
loved people were it. It was a very well. It was like we were in the middle of nowhere, Pennsylvania. It was amazing. I have very favorable experiences with ghosts myself. They typically like me.
Yeah, I've had a couple ghost experiences, but I always like. There's definitely been times I was scared, but it always I realized I was like, oh, your beef isn't with me. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. I think we did have a ghost in my childhood home, and like that ghost was not happy, but I realized like you don't want to harm me. Like, you're just pissed.
Right. And like probably you should be. You probably have a really good reason to be mad.
Because that's what I've always heard is that ghosts happen because people feel like they have like an unsettled something. So they don't want to fully pass on. And I saw somewhere or like on Oprah with some fake psychics or at some point. I don't know where I saw this. But I remember this lady was saying that's why so many ghost stories and paranormal activity things, the ghost is like of a kid, because that's who would be the most likely that would be like, whoa, what's going on? Because they probably would like have something happened out of nowhere, like. Elderly people who feel like they wrapped their life up well are not going to be haunting.
Yeah, absolutely.
Here, I'll read this last little short one.
Bring
My
us
senior
home.
Year, when the whole class was working on a math assignment, we suddenly heard wind chimes, like the scene from Twister, but it went on way too long. It lasted like a full 30 seconds. My teacher went out into the hallway to see if anyone was watching a video in class or something, but couldn't find anything and never found out what it was. Another classroom across the building, both of these were on the second floor, sometimes the teacher would pull down the roll-up map over the whiteboard and it would start to roll back up and he would have to smack it against the whiteboard to stop it. We always joked it was a ghost, doesn't mean it was actually paranormal. And then the air vent in the girls' locker room would bang every so often, 5 times in a row, then quit every time. It was one of those big flat air vents with the ceiling opening on the side, so we used to joke that there was a ghost girl trying to get out of there.
In the vent?
Yeah, because they said it would be like 5 bangs on the vent and then it would stop.
I don't know. To me, that just sounds like a very old HVAC system, but who am I? You know?
I'm going to say that sounds
I'm not
like
here to kill anybody's
my HVAC
buzz.
System. We're just here for ghosts.
Yeah, I believe you. It was a ghost. I was just kidding about the HVAC thing. There's a skeptic in every horror movie, you know?
We hope everyone's having a good and spooky Halloween. We hope that if you have paranormal activities, the ghosts are not mad at you personally.
Yeah.
And that it goes really great for everyone. And we're excited to see those of you in Vegas. And if you're listening to this, we probably already went to Vegas. So keep an eye out on our Patreon. That's how we do our live events, is it's a tier on Patreon. So keep an eye out. We'll probably do another one at some point.
Yeah, we will.
We love you all so much.
Love
Have
you.
Fun at work. We know Bye. You will.